blessing to be in the house of the Lord with the saints of God. So just let us all be surrendered that we can receive that which he has for us. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is a pleasure and thanks, Lord, you have given us this opportunity to come together to worship. Father, may we come with surrendered hearts and love for you, Lord, in all things that we do. God, we ask you to guide us, Lord, to lead us all the day of our lives. Father, we know that this world is not forever. But God, we are asking you to prepare us, Lord, to leave this world and to be at the home with you in your kingdom. Father, we ask you this day, Father, wherever we go, whatever we do, Lord, that we have blessing and thanksgiving, God, unto you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah.
There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early.
The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth.
He maketh war to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. God bless you. May be seated.
Amen. That's one of my favorite scriptures there where it says God is our refuge and strength and he's a present help in the time of trouble. If there's any time he's the great I am in our lives, it's now in this time of trouble. We know he works all things according to his perfect will. Amen. Let's turn to page 174 in the Spiral Songbook, if you have it near you.
Amen. Oh, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin. On my way to that fair city, and when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, Savior in this life is free from sin. Heaven's door will open for me when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the happy for that this morning. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. I'm waiting for the chariot.
With the word, amen. That's what the prophet saw. The bride is marching up. Everyone else can march their own way in the way of the world. It's so good to hear all of these voices in the congregation. There's just something about creating the atmosphere of the Lord that just comes down and inhabits our praises. And I just love it when this place is filled with the voices of praise. Amen. And let's turn to page 698. If you have it in your spiral songbook. Try this song. I'm not sure if I've sung it here before, but I tell you, he's still God, the great I am. He's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. And, he's still God. Amen. Amen. Oh, life is easy when you're up on the mountain. Down in the valley, troubled valley. Oh, don't lose faith, for you are never alone. Hallelujah. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Down in the valley. of trials and temptations. That's when your faith is really put to the test. But he's still God on the mountain. He's still God on the mountain. He's still God in the valley. When things go wrong, oh, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. Let's sing that chorus once more. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, oh, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times, the God of the day. Hallelujah. He's still God in the night.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Oh, he's my master and my savior. Oh, Jesus. Oh, like the fragrance after the rain. Sing it to him once more. Oh, Jesus. Just worship him this morning. Jesus. There's just something about that name. About that name. He's our master and savior. Oh, master, savior. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim, for kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. What a lovely name is the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. proclaim, proclaiming this morning, oh, what a lovely name. Oh, what a lovely name is the name of Jesus, reaching higher far. Stand as we sing it once more. Yes, what a lovely name is the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, and sweeter than the songs we sing. Saints proclaim, what a lovely name. Amen. What a name. You just speak that name by faith in any situation. I was telling the kids last night, I said, when Jesus comes, you can't stay the same. When he comes and you meet him, you either go out worse or you accept him as your Savior. You can't stay the same, though. There's no in between. Amen. How many love the Lord this morning? You ready for the word? Let's change over the order of the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart.
Good to be back upstairs and hearing everybody singing and music and everything. Really great. Amen. Glad to be here. Now, we've made the statement Wednesday night. We'll make it again to where you can understand. If you want to sit downstairs, feel free to. There's nobody ruling nothing of doing. If you want to sit downstairs and view the services, it will be made available. If you want to come into your car and park out in the parking lot, it will be made available to where that you can, because we don't want nobody to feel that they're obligated to have to do this, that, or the other. This is all, coming to church should be volunteer basis anyway. Nobody can go out and compel you to do and make this, that, or the other, and all. It's not the right thing to do. But just, you know, if you, want to, if you want to, our brother there having a mask, if you want to wear a mask, that's fine. Nobody has any problems. We just want you to be satisfied within your own self and doing your own part and serving the Lord from that. So does everybody understand that doing? Now, I'm going to make a couple of announcements this morning that I figure need to be made. You know, we don't know what the hour is of how that things are going to keep working and what they're going to do. We do what we do for the church and, you know, and doing the best that we can to serve God here in the church and the doings and to serve Him, because that's the one we're here to serve. We're not here to try to satisfy anybody else. I think that we've done the right decisions when we made the decisions to, you know, move about, do things and everything like that. I think it was right to do that. And if necessary, we'll do it again, whatever is necessary, because as long as the government is not fooling with our spirituality, I feel that we can, go along with what they're doing and things like that. Maybe 30, 40 years ago, you might have had a different idea, and I might have had a different idea. Still, it's come down to the last days. You know, I've all told you from day one, I don't believe this is the end of the world in that respect, but I believe it is the beginning of the end. I believe it's in the basis of the volunteer state, because he's going to come in by flattery, you know, invited in and et cetera like that, not forcefully. So it won't be a great forceful thing at the beginning. It's going to be gradual. You know, you say, well, what do you think about the economy for this? I don't know, because, man, they can change this thing before we get home. Now, that's serious, and it is very serious. So I've encouraged you to do one thing. Get your ducks in a row for naturally speaking and things like that, you know, keep everything going. Don't go out and be wild about it. Just be what you want to be and serve God and all like that. Now, and that will take care of a lot of the situations of life, because we don't know. You know, I don't know. We've never been at a place like this. Now, we've had world time troubles, and we've had countries that had troubles, but we've never had a time that the entire world was at a problem. It's not just our nation and not just our point. Every nation in the world is involved in this, because it is an economical crash. I don't know why it was brought on. I've told you, somebody else is pulling the string. That's all I can say, and all I know. It ain't this, that, or the other. I'm against this, I'm against that. We're just doing the best we can to survive and be a Christian in what we're doing. So remember that way and keep it in mind. And like I said, if you want to go downstairs, if you want to do those things, do it and feel free to. But to you that want to come up here and sit down and worship and have a good time in the Lord, we can worship. You can sing downstairs as well as you can sing upstairs. You know, you can do all of the things, and we can have that, all right? Now, it may come until a word that we don't know from day to one to two. You may be, and we all may be, without a job within a week, because that's been proven that it's been done, all right? My warning is to look at the signs around us, because they can do anything they want to, naturally speaking. And all, because they can just whack it down right now. And some of you have already had to take pay cuts. You've already had to have days off. You've already had to change things. So you don't know what that's going to be. Now, the only statement I'm going to make this way and make it to where we can stay clear with everything. We as a church cannot pay everybody's bills. I mean, that's just, you know, we can't do it. We don't have the money. That's plain. All right. But, But we've always tried to help everybody that had a need. And you let your needs be known, the Bible says. And you can let them be known to the deacons. The deacons will transfer that up the line, coming on up to the things. And you can talk it over with them. And it'll finally come up to the bases through the trustees and on out. If there's anything that has to be handled, it will be brought down to the last two, which is Terrence is the CEO of the church, the way the government is set up. I said the way the government is set up. I'm the pastor of the church, the way the church is set up. So then that way we make the final authorities will be brought through into that basis. So don't just say, well I'm going to run. Well, remember, it's going to have to go through chains to go upward. Because we may be all without a job. It may be to the point that we're saying, okay, we'll give you $20 to get gas to come to church. And we'll do the best we can as long as we can. But we can't pay you payments. Let's make that plain and blunt. We can't pay you car payments, your house payment, anything. And you shouldn't expect it to be. All right? And for heaven's sake, don't keep money in your bank account or in a jug out in the yard. Anywhere you put your money. You know what I'm saying? You can put it in, you know, everybody looking at a jug in the yard, you know, that'd be good on the internet. But the old time way was to take a fruit jar and put it in the fruit jar and set it out in the yard and hide it. That was the bank you had. You were banking on that fruit jar, holding it. And some of you are old enough to realize that that did happen in a lot of cases. But we're not able to handle everything. So you shouldn't expect to come and ask for help if you have money in your bank account in any form. I said it the way I meant it the way I said it. Any form. If you got it in the bank account, if you got it in all of these other things that can be done, don't expect somebody to pay your bills for you if you have money in your name. That shouldn't be a Christian attitude. All right? So don't ask. That shouldn't be it. We're talking about things when we have need to where that we have to handle things. We have over the years here given a lot of people money to come to church. You know, just take them, say, well, here, we'll give them. Maybe some are still doing that. I don't ask questions. But, you know, we expect to do stuff like that. We'll do it as much as we possibly can and keep it as straight as we can, but keep it to where we can be able to handle it. So if anything... The said, repeat. Now, everybody standing up so you're not be asleep, is what he said. If you want to go to the basement, feel free to. If you want to wear face masks, feel free to. If you want to do those things, if you need it and all like that, do it. If you have a need, then let us know through the chain. You can come through the deacons. It can come up the chain up to myself and then to Terrence to where that we can help if you need it. But to remember... Just make sure that you don't hold up money and keep it in somewhere hidden or some secret bank account, you know, to where it won't be done. Okay? Let's see. I've got it wrote down because that would have to come through. All of it has to come through once we're setting up the way we're doing. Everything has to come through a channel upward and come through the board of directors. To where that they can handle things, but the final decisions will be brought down to the last two. That'd be Terrence and myself. So that'll be, you know, you won't be, nobody won't have to do anything. We'll do it that way. Does everybody understand? It's not something, we're just saying this because we don't know what's going to happen. We may have to cut. I told the brothers, always told the missionary brothers, we still do our missionary as much as we can. We will. We'll send money to the missionaries as much as we can. But I told them to start with. There'll come a time when we can't send it. So don't burden us about trying to get it because we don't have it. See, we have to take care of our home first, everything here, and then we can take care of other things later. Okay? All right? Any other things that would be said? Remember now to the ladies, this coming Thursday, you will be heading that away. This coming Thursday, we will be heading that away. So the men, so don't get it mixed up and get in the wrong car. Okay? We have to have everything running in order. So all the men will be going that way and all the women will be going that way. And that'll take care of it. We pray that you'll have a good time in doing and, you know, and enjoy it and just pray one for another, because we always have had a good time to where we can get together with the brothers. If you can't come up, come on up, you know, one evening, or come up and eat with us on Friday. We always have the big old thing, and about 6 o'clock on Friday, we'll have a table covered half this room, and you can just eat all you want to, you know, and have a good time together, and then you can go out and go fishing and things like that. All right, that'll be up to you what you're deciding to do, because remember, men go that way with the boys, women go that way with the kids. Now, the reason I say that, because some of the little ones are, you know, will have to go that way. It'd be boys too, you know. So just make sure we get it all in there. All right. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace unto us, and we ask you to just bless us with your understanding, that we may walk in you. Forgive our sins, and Lord, just help us and guide us. Be with us in this day. You promised it, so we believe that. We've never been concerned about what's going on, because we know you promised you'd always be with us. You'd never forsake us. You've never seen your righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. We don't have to worry about it. You'll take care of all things, because it's all in you, because we are the body of Jesus Christ, and you'll take care of your body. Have your way now. As we speak about your word, you come and open our eyes to that understanding, Lord, that we may see you. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. Now, Brother Luis will be speaking, Lord willing, Wednesday. So we'll get that. All right. This may turn out to be, because it already turned into two services, so we'll see how it's going to work. Okay? Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What is a believer's position? Heavenly places. According as he hath chosen us in him. Now that was what we were on last Sunday, continuing on with our thought. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. As I said there last Sunday, I think it's still a good idea to do. I came in today, done my usual routine. Terrence doesn't know. He comes behind me and does it too. But all the doorknobs, all of the rails coming up and down, everything is wiped down with stuff. I think that's a good idea. I mean, I don't think it's any problem. I think it's a good idea. You can say, well, we ought not be silly. Well, then go drink alcohol. You know, don't be silly. Just go get you a bottle of alcohol and drink you some of it. Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying. Say, let's don't be silly. Let's be brothers and sisters in Christ and let it all work out for the glory of the Lord. Okay, now I've got a little something I've got to explain because of the last message, but I hope you understand. Is Aaron, what did he say Wednesday night? Don't take what I say, take what I mean. Okay. See, last Sunday I made a lot of slip back and forth because that message was an injection. I had notes to go in another way, and it turned out. But I kept saying to begin with that Paul and Peter had, they never had no differences. Well, that's still true. I wasn't preaching about Paul and Peter, but that was in my mind, and it just kept running. And Paul and Peter did have a difference, but it was never a difference in doctrine. So what I was saying was right. So take what I meant. Paul and Peter had, according to the scriptures, they had problems there, and Paul had to rebuke Peter. But Brother Branham said they had no problems in doctrine. everything was right. He said that proved the whole thing. You know, God can keep us together. All right. But then see what it is Paul and James was the two that I was bringing it forth because I was trying to explain the point of what I said we need to cover, not to study in the Arminian and a Calvinistic form, but to, you know, I don't really care for crossing that because, you know, it'd be fine. We will to a degree. But see, Paul and James never had no contradictions. You know, now, and I kept making the statement I noticed in there. So cancel out all that other you on the internet and, you know, just put that to the 80-year-old and forget it. But remember, Paul and Peter did have problems. They had troubles. But nothing in doctrine. And that's what I love about that. Because that was two born-again Christians expressing their point of view and thing, and Peter just getting caught in a little bit of a natural thing, you know, that probably happens to us every day just about it. And Paul said, now, Peter, that ain't right. You know, you shouldn't do that. But it wasn't anything to be derogatory to Peter that he was doing anything wrong. It was just the fact that Peter wasn't behaving himself. Because really the story is, if you studied it, is that they had this meeting, they got together, and there was a bunch of brothers together, and Peter was over here talking with these brothers and associating with them. But when Paul steps in, Peter kind of backs away, runs over, kind of a little like maybe that Peter was a little bit embarrassed at the time or something happened. But anyhow, there was no doctrine. And Paul said, okay, now, Peter, that ain't right. He said, because what you was doing a while ago, before James and myself and these others come in, because James was the one calling it the, not this James now that we're talking about in the book of James, but that James there was called the legalist. You know, he was kind of a stern legalist, but he was one of the brethren. All right. So then he said, now, when we came in, said, you run away from these brothers. Well, that's just a little embarrassing. He said, you shouldn't do that. Well, Peter never said a word about what Paul said. As a matter of fact, he bragged on him. He said, now, Paul, you got to watch him because sometimes he says things hard to be understood. He said that a lot of them struggle to their own destruction trying to do. All right, but what were we talking about, James and Paul? James is counted by mankind as being more of the legalistic Arminian side of works. All right? Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Okay? Right? Now, Paul was more counted by, I'm saying it the way I mean it now, by mankind. He was counted more or less to be a Calvinist because it was more, God has done this, it's taken care of, we don't have to worry about it, all of this, that, and the other. But I kept making the statements, but I didn't read them. But I want you to think about it because maybe you wouldn't understand me to say it, but ours looks like one thing is going one way and one going another. But remember, if you keep them going that way, don't forget this. Calvinism and Arminianism is both in the Bible. The scriptures for both of them. All right? Now, and they're right in what Paul and James said. What they were teaching was right. You say, no, you're not listening. What they were teaching is right. What you think they were teaching is where the wrong comes in, what mankind thinks about it, because there was no contradiction between James and Paul. Well, James was an Arminian. No, James wasn't an Arminian. Paul was not a Calvinist. It's what we call him to be. We credit that to be. We say that Paul was Calvinistic in his teaching. Paul was not Calvinistic in his teaching. Remember, you're dealing with two born-again believers, faith of God, stature of a perfect man, at least up to where it says, and the headstone hadn't come yet, but at least to that point you got to count Peter and Paul and James and John and all of those up at that position. Right. Because it was the faith of the fathers.
Right.
So James was a born-again believer. And what he was saying was right. See, that's what's hard for people to say. Is you say, but no, he was Armenian. No, he wasn't Armenian. He was a born-again Christian, faith of the fathers, saying what the same thing Paul was saying, the same thing James was saying. James was saying the same thing Paul. It's a way of saying it. That's where that I'm warning you and I that that's the easiest way for us to get messed up. And I believe that's what's wrong with the people of this message trying to follow the prophet, because they take what they want of the quotes and they run it down a line. They'll take what they want of the quotes and they run it down another line. I don't believe in that. I never have. I've always been. Maybe that's me, and I'm sorry. If I've ever had any ministry whatsoever, it's in the one line that I've always been to, where let's take this and this and see it come together. And when we do, we've got a revelation. Because now listen, Calvinism by itself is wrong. I'm fixing to read it to you. Arminianism by itself is wrong. It's wrong. I mean, I'm going to read what Brother Ryan said it's wrong. But when you put them together in the middle of the road, you got a revelation. Right? See, now let's read that. And if we don't get into the main part of the message, we'll at least get this cleared up. But let's go ahead to number one, brothers. And let's get started on this. At least clear this part up right here, because I want you to, this is what I want you to see. All right. He says, I'm taking the Bible and say anything here. Like the church says, the Holy Ghost was for just for the group back there. You can take the Bible. His point, what? You can make it say what you want to. But if you take the Bible in the wording of the Bible in correctness, you can't make it say what you want it to say. It's you twisting what you're reading.
Right.
You're not reading the Bible. The Bible is not contradictory.
Amen.
Okay, so watch. The church says so, and the scripture says, whosoever will, I can't make that hit the target. I can't make Calvinism just believe on the Lord, and you got eternal security. Now, he said, I can't just go that way. But yet you'll hear him explaining that that's exactly the way you come to salvation. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings you to eternal security. But what's he saying? Just believing in the Lord. I can't make Calvinism like mankind believes it to believing in the Lord. See, roll it up just a hair, will you? I can't make Calvinism just believe in the Lord and you got eternal security. And Arminianism, that if I just touch not, handle not, taste not, I'd like to do it, but I can't do it. He said, I can't take those two. Because one is going one way and one is going the other. That's right. Uh-huh. Now watch what he says. I've got to see where they both got scripture, but it's got to hit the target.
Amen.
Work now in the middle. Okay, excuse me. Arminianism is too far away from Calvinism, and they both are wrong. Okay, now we're reading what the prophet says. Calvinism is wrong. Arminianism is wrong. Yet we're going to read where he says they're right.
That's right.
All right? Yep. Well, see, Calvinism by itself is wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Arminianism by itself is wrong.
Right. That's right.
All right? But you've got to hit the target and in the middle.
Amen.
And when it does, now I say it this way, but I can prove back up what he said. See, to me, Calvinism proves Arminianism is right. Okay, you're not listening to what I'm saying. You're listening to what you think I'm trying to say. No. See, Arminianism by itself is wrong.
Yep. Right.
Because it leans totally to works.
Yep. Yeah. Right.
All right? Arminianism is wrong. Go to leaning to work. Calvinism leans to, call it grace. But yet, Put them together. The ever born again believer, I'll say it this way, the deeper depths of understanding to bring you on into here until, it depends on the fact of whether or not we can look at these things and come out with the right point. And that's why I said it. Paul's not a Calvinist. He was a born again Christian. James is not an Arminian. He's a born-again Christian. Both of them's got truth. But put them together. And then they don't contradict each other. Right? See, which one are you? Huh? I believe in works, don't you? I thought our works was to follow our salvation. I thought we were supposed to be Christians and live right. Now you're coming to the middle of the road. Then you're coming to the basis of seeing that Calvinism by itself won't work. Arminianism won't work, but put them together. And you got a born again believer who's serving God out of a pure heart. Because listen to what your prophet has to say. Going into the next one because we'll hold that one. Faith without works is dead. First thing, it looks like Paul was speaking to the Romans, fourth chapter. Justifying, now it looks like that he was justifying Abraham by faith and James is justifying him by works. But it does not contradict. Well, now you got one quote up here that he says, well, I said what the prophet said. He said that's wrong. Well, they wasn't wrong. We were the ones wrong.
That's right.
Now when the prophet comes forth and says James and Paul wasn't contradictory. See, then I believe that. But yet if you go across the street over here, you'll find one or the other prevalent and do it. And it's like I said, I listened to my own services. I did twice this week, so to see if make sure that I get things the way that I need to get it. I made a statement in there that probably a lot of you didn't think too much about. But you know that every born again believer starts as a baby.
That's right.
You start as a baby.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You're babes in Christ according to the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? The Bible says we're babes in Christ. Well, you know what a baby is? A legalist.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Right? Because you know yourself, you used to things people go walking by on you. You know, you're looking at it and saying, well, they're not a Christian. But then time goes on and you kind of get settled down and you see things. And you say, well, you know, I shouldn't have thought that about that person. Because I'm in the same shape. But see, a baby looks at everything legalistically. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't drink. I don't. Well, all right. But see, that's where God allows things, I guess, to happen to where maybe it fits in a situation. But you see, that's what I've been taught ever since I've been in this message. We don't do this. We don't do that. The women don't cut their hair. They don't paint their face. They don't. Well, that's great. If it's from a born again experience. If not, it's just something that's, you know, that people do. So we're either legalistic or we're Arminian. One of the two. So we better consider it. I'm not preaching to somewhere else. I'm preaching here in Lula. Anybody else listening, that's their business. But I'm talking here, are we Calvinistic or are we Arminian? I want to be both. Because both of them have scripture. So I want the scripture. All right, listen to what the prophet is saying. Like Abraham, by faith, James is justifying him by works. but it does not contradict. Paul was speaking of what God saw in Abraham, and James was speaking what man saw in Abraham. Both of them looking at the same man. Right? One of them sees him and thinks he's a little bit too much on the legalistic side. The other one sees him and thinks he's a little bit too much on the grace side. But I'm going to say this now, whether you like it or not. I think if it'll come together in the middle, you get a revelation. And listen, I'm going to say it now. If it don't come together as being one thing, you do not have a revelation. That's as plain as I can be. Whether you like the point or whatever, that's just the way I've always been. I believe your works are supposed to prove what's inside of you. I believe that. I believe you should live a Christian life. We have failures and problems. Right? We do wrong. All right, if we hang to the Calvinistic, we're going to miss it. See, if you don't have something to lean on, if you keep leaning on the Calvinistic and keep doing wrong, then you're going to be lost because you're going to lose yourself. So we better believe in, and maybe this ain't the right way to say it, but that's all right. Forgive me, Lord. Give me something else. We better depend on getting this much of that word that's right over here on Arminianism and get that right, and get this over here that's right on Calvinism and get it right, and put them together. To where it won't be contrary one to the other. Then that way we can say, hey, wait a minute, you mean that we have a right to go out and do it? No. Calvinism never taught that. Paul never taught that you had a right to go out and live like the devil, but still claim to be a saved Christian. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. He never taught that. That's what man says he taught. Well, we can't figure it out because Paul says this and James says this. Well, why can't you say both of them saying the same thing? They're not contrary one to the other. Now you can see that when you get a revelation of a true born again Christian. A true born again Christian lives each day in their life not trying to do things to appease God. No. Don't try to appease God. There's no need. What could we do? By the time we get through trying to appease him, there's something, the devil's going to come up with something else. Don't worry about it. Just be a Christian. You mean now your sisters don't cut your hair? Does that mean you're saved? No. But if you go cut your hair off, it could prove you're lost. Okay, going one way, going another way. Okay. Is that true?
Amen.
See, we're going to prove what we are.
Amen.
You know. See, that way you don't have to make yourself do or not do. And then you would in no way say, well, boy, I'm glad I didn't do like Brother Dale did, because I don't know where God would have saved me if I'd have done what he done. Well, I don't believe he would have. Because none of us didn't do nothing worth anything.
Amen.
I mean, the whole thing,
Amen.
The whole nine yards.
Amen.
You better believe in a little bit of grace.
Amen.
Now, don't be into disgrace, because that's us Baptists. We went into disgrace with it, and I'm not throwing off on them, just saying what it was. They said, once saved, always saved. We'd ever say we're going to be saved. Well, that would be true if you truly were born again. But if you're not saved, then you're going to go back to where you come from. The hog's going to go to the waller and the mire.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
The slop.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. But you see, that's what I'm trying to get us to see. Are we Arminian or are we Calvinist? Or do we have enough of each side of it to understand?
Right.
I believe Brother Brandon's message was the putting together of those things. What did he say on marriage and divorce? He said, if you go so far out this way, he said, you fall off. He said, you go so far out this way, he said, you fall off. He said, come back to the middle of the road and just be a Christian. See? All right. Let's get to the next one, number three. From the message of thy word. Now, Paul was justifying Abraham by faith. James justified him by works. Paul said Abraham was justified, Romans 4, by faith. So James comes over and says that he was justified by works. Now, both of them, one confirmed the other. Now remember what we started off? He said they're both wrong. All right, you take Calvinism by itself, it's wrong. You take Arminianism by itself, it's wrong. Put them together, you got a revelation in the middle. Amen. Then you can see why that we do have an advocate to take our place. But yet we don't use our advocate. That's where I've always told you, you have an angel. I'm going to have to apologize to mine when I get there because I've done wore him out. He probably had to call in help for reinforcements, you know, because, and I don't mean that jokingly, I mean the truth. We're just human beings. Sure, we make mistakes. We do wrong. But that don't mean we're lost. Amen. See, are you getting to which one you're on? Which side are you on? Well, Brother Dale, you done that, you're lost. Where does it show that in the Bible? You got to get them both together, seeing one of them will confirm the other.
Right.
What is confirmed? Make it established or put it into order or bring it to where it's supposed to be.
Amen. Right.
All right? Calvinism is right. We believe in doing the things and not doing the things. We believe in it. That's a Christian. We don't live like the devil and turn around and say, I believe in Paul's Calvinism. Now, Paul didn't have that kind of Calvinism. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Paul never taught Calvinism that away. That's what we take him as to be in teaching.
Amen.
Neither did James teach that you could be saved because of your works. Works is faith expressed.
Amen.
We're supposed to be a Christian. We're supposed to live like Christians. Act like Christians. We're supposed to be a Christian, not to have to.
That's right.
Well, I just don't understand you because you go one way, then you go the other way. Well, I'll give you the pulpit. What day do you want it? Come in and explain it. I don't mean that jokingly. I mean it right. See, if they don't both come together, how can one confirm the other?
Right. Amen.
See, your faith that you have in God is confirmed in the basis of how you live.
Amen. Right.
Right? The way you live confirms what's within you or shows what's within you.
Right?
And see, then that way I don't have to worry about it. You say, well, what about us children? I don't understand. That's what I'm trying my best to explain it. To the children and all of us. But I found out a long time ago that the older children is the one you have a trouble trying to explain something to. You can like that or lump it. The older ones are the ones you have trouble trying to explain it to. The children, they just take what you say. And they realize, well, hey, Brother Dale, he says a lot of things that are crazy. But you know what? He loves us and he tries to help us and he does everything for us. And he's tried to do this. He's tried to do that. He's tried to be a Christian before us. Because I believe that. I believe in just being what you are. I don't have to make up nothing. I don't have to get up of a morning and say, well, I'm a Christian, so I got to act like one today. I would act different, but I got to act like a Christian because I'm expected to. No. I get up saying, Lord, help me this day. Because I know I'm going to stumble and fall. So you help me. So, Lord, take care of it. Then at night, the last thing I say, Lord, I'm sorry for all of the day and what I've been because I haven't been right and haven't done what I should have done. And I should have done this or should have done that. But, Lord, forgive me. and help me. And then about 3 hours later, he wakes me up and he says, well, you forgot this. You know, you ain't never done that. You ain't never had him wake you up and remind you. You know, well, sometimes that's the way I get a sermon. And he reminds me. All right. But you see what I'm talking about? You can take Brother Branham's message and make it say what you want it to say. Because I just gave you a quote that Brother Branham says Calvinism and Arminianism is wrong. Then I gave you a quote where he said that they didn't contradict each other. Then give you one where he said they confirm each other. See, I'm not trying to live a Christian life. That's always been my pet peeve to say. People say, you know, Brother Dale trying to get you to live a Christian. No, he ain't trying to get me to do that. Like Fred Hooper said years ago. You remember when that happened down there with the Jim Jones and the things that little brother Fred Hooper used to go to church, and we was there at work one day, and this man come up and he said, you know, when we was talking about the Jim Jones situation, and he looked at Fred and he said, does Brother Dale ever want you to kill yourself? He said, ever service. He said, he tries to get me into ever service to kill myself and live a Christian life. All right? That should be our goal. See, we expect God to take care of us, like times of troubles like we are now. We expect God, you know, the world and all, to take care of us and help us. That's good. But what if he's expecting us to move a little closer? Come a little closer to him, you know, all of these things. Serve him more. Honor him more, especially. But see, do you have to make yourself do things? Do you have to make yourself do things? See, then you're trying to lean towards Arminianism. You're trying to find some form of works that will save you. Works won't never save you. Like Brother Brown said, you can have what? You women? It's not because you got long hair and long dresses. Maybe he didn't make the statement, but I'll make it. You can get that Crystal Gale, or what her name is, and let her walk down through here, and her hair is going to run on the thing. But does that mean she's saved? No. Well, she don't cut her hair. Does that mean you're saved because you don't cut your hair? If it is, you're a Calvinist. Do you understand? If you think that you can do something or not do it, and God would save you or whatever, if that's what you're thinking, then you're trying to bring some forth and it won't work. I'm trying to bring them both to a point. I think we ought to live a Christian life. I'm going to state this way, but I hope you and always have made that statement about it. Brother Branham never had to come to teach the women to not cut their hair and the clothes to wear. You Pentecostals, now come on, get on with it. I'm 80 years old, but I didn't come through Pentecost. But you know yourself, the Pentecostals, they believed in that long dress, long hair, and men with the long sleeves, and they were there. And that was right. Brother Branham didn't have to come to it. To straighten us out on the fact of what we thought that meant is where he came. He came to set in order all of those things. To show us that it was not a Christian because we had long hair. But to show us that if we do that by the love of God within our heart, then the hair and all is the honor and glory. Amen. Right. Amen. See, that way we're not legalist. Amen. We're not trying to be saved. Right. I think if you'd agree with me about the biggest portion of our lives has been we try to get out of being saved. The way we've acted now, at least. Right? But you see, church, what is it? See, you never chose him. Now, let me get to this part of the message just a little bit. You never chose him. He chose you. Yeah, but Brother Dale, I chose God, and I prayed, and I cried. I've tried to explain that. Here we go. Over here for a little while, and then over here for a little while. All right. You cried, and you prayed, and you sought God. The Bible didn't tell you you was wrong by doing that. But then it said you never sought God at any time. Now you said, but wait a minute. Now you're over here one time and you're over here one time. Well, why don't you put them together? He chose you. The way I like it really is the way the scripture says that. And that's the title we'll use for a while, is chosen us in him. Who's the him? That looks like there's a person standing there. That looks like there was a person accepted, and now you're in that person, and you're accepted.
Amen.
Well, you know what? That's true.
Amen.
Chosen us in him. Who? Jesus Christ. Right? You see, we're not Trinitarians, and we're not... You know, not trying to be, but if we get into the predestination in the correct order and bring it back all the way to where you can get to the mind. Amen. And then look at that from the mind, and maybe it'll help us to understand. But what about it? What is your goal? Now remember, if he chose me, I didn't have nothing to do with it. That's what I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to be human to where you won't misunderstand and say, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. I don't understand. I believe that you sought God, because I did. I cried and prayed and fasted and done everything and tried for that. Had gotten away from the world and the Baptist, even just that much in the doctrine of the Baptist church, that I didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't chew, didn't do those things. I didn't have to quit that when it come in the message. Come on, you know yourself what I'm talking about. Most people say, when I come into the message, I quit drinking, I quit chewing. I didn't have to. Because I believed as a Baptist we were to be a Christian. I believed that when I was in the Baptist church, we were to live a Christian life. I didn't do it. I didn't say that. I said I believed in it. See, that's why that one of these days you will wake up and realize that Brother Dale has tried his best to do one thing. I've never tried to beat you into believing something. I've never tried to make you believe in anything in Jesus Christ. I've tried to make it to the basis that it is in the Word of God for you and me. And it's in there in the correct order. Arminianism is there. Calvinism is there. Bring them together. Bring them together to where that we can see Christianity as it really is. And it won't be a hard life to live. That's what I told the people in this message. They told me, said, well, what do you mean you're seeking the Lord? I said, I've been seeking the Lord 2 years and I ain't found him yet. I said, that's after coming in the message. Well, you believe the message? I said, yeah, I think so, because I read 6 books and listened to 2 tapes in 1 day. You ever tried it? I didn't mean it sarcastically. I mean it's the truth. I put my life, dedicated it to studying this message. That was all I had. That was all my desire. Brother Colley can tell you, I had a good boss and a good job and everything, and I could just sit up there with him half the night. And he's up there rolling tires, me and him talking about the Lord. And he's rolling tires and stacking them up. Had a good time. But you see, church, I'm not trying to appease God. I never did that. I just didn't want to smoke. I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to do those things. Why? Because I believed if I was going to be a Christian, the first thing I said when I was 18 years old, and, you know, I said, well, if I'm going to be a Christian, I need to know what the Bible said. So I set out to read it. And I admit, when I got to those things that where you got 1,400 times that it said so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, you ever run into them? You ain't read the Bible through. You can say, I read the Bible through. Well, you don't know, you never read it through. You're laughing about it now because you realize that's what it was. You read that, so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so. And I got tired of that. But all at once, one day, right in the middle of it, you know, one of those 10 times reading or 20, all at once, there was just something that was placed in there, and just like that. I said, wow. Look what I'd have missed if I'd have turned over and hadn't had been reading this so-and-so begot so-and-so. So I slowed down. And I read the Bible. And I tried to read it for myself. Because if I was going to believe in Christianity for myself, I was going to believe in it in the Word of God. I did. I tried to do that. And my wife, she can verify the point. I told her one day, I said, look, like to me, there's going to be two prophets come before the end of the world. I was a Baptist reading that out of the Bible because I had Malachi 3 and Malachi 4. Well, I went and read through that. I didn't see nothing. Well, okay, I'm not throwing off on you. I'm just saying that's what happened to me. And I read in there and it looked like, well, here's one coming, and it looked like, oh, here's another one coming. Well, I told you about it. When Brother Moult got to talking to me about a prophet, I said, because I was kind of a little bit tricky, too, and he started telling me about a prophet, and he was talking about Malachi 4. I said, well, okay, explain Malachi 3. Well, I thank God I didn't have to run up on somebody that didn't know what I was talking about. I run up on a man that knowed exactly. He quoted exactly straight through. And he said, this is Luke 1:17, and this is this. And I said, come on. See, once he got through explaining Luke and explaining those things about the coming of Elijah, see, I was well settled. I was in the Word. I had my answer of two prophets. Looking forward to one coming, but looking and seeing the other had already come. So I didn't have any trouble with those things. You know why? Because I'd read the Word of God. But how many times have we put our lives on the basis of how much we've read? Like I said, if I was going to be a Christian, I thought I ought to know what the Bible said. Shouldn't that be what it is? Well, I began to read it to see what it was. And I've told you, see, you get into this message and you mention adoption in this message and it's just a taboo just about it, or predestination is really a gone off deal, or marriage and divorce is really, man, you're just out. Nobody knows anything about all these things. Well, I know a lot about a lot of things before I come in this message. Because I'd studied it over and over. Then what was you trying to be, Armenian or Calvinist? Matter of fact, I didn't even know what neither one of them meant. Ain't that about the basis of all of us sitting here? Biggest portion of people don't even know Armenian or Calvinism. You say it like that, and say, what is it? Huh? One of them is Calvinism is trying to find some beautiful thing or something you've done or didn't do or something this, that, and the other, some reason for God to save you. Armenianism is some works you've done thinking that's what made it to where God would save you. Well, both of them's wrong that way. But put them together and what do you got? Amen. Put them together. You got a beautiful story of the plan of salvation. That God gave you and I an opportunity. Chosen us in Him. Who? Him. The Word.
That's right.
He said, well, that meant this person accepted this person over here, and if we was in that person, we're right. No, don't get into that's, you're going into your three God deals again and stuff like that. Don't do that. Just think about it. But I ask you one thing, why did he save you?
Amen.
Well, he saved me because I'm so good. Well, see, I'll just tell you right up front, that ain't salvation. I think you missed it. I'm just serious. I think you missed it. I think you need to get saved.
Amen. Right.
Oh, no, now you're really beating on me. Oh, you're beating on me hard. You're saying that I ain't saved. That's what one brother said. I said, no, brother, I didn't say that. Yeah, you told them I wasn't. I said, I didn't say that. I said, if you act like that, you're proving you ain't saved. I said, now you quote me right, and I don't care. If I act like the devil, then I know who I belong to. But what a wonderful opportunity to be able to understand these things. Maybe that encouraged you to read a lot more of the message. No. It encouraged you to read and listen to a lot of tapes and get a good understanding of what's being said. Because I think for certain, if anybody should have the right, maybe I don't shouldn't say this that away, but if anybody has a right to understand the Word of God, it should be the people of this message. No. I don't mean just because you read it. I mean because of while you was reading it, at least some of that dwelled in it.
Amen.
Some of that caught into us and hung on.
Yeah.
You know. Like I said, how many of you would have talked about Arminian and Calvinism as I have today, up to where that I can stand here and take a prophet and say he's right, but say that he said Arminian and Calvinism was wrong.
Amen.
Then he said they don't contradict each other. Then he says they confirm each other. Well, I don't. You sure are messed up. No? Because you see, if you'll just wait on God, if you'll just ask Him and wait on Him, He'll come out and explain it to you. And they'll all come to the right place. And you'll see that, wait, Lord, forgive me, because I have had Arminian ideas, I have had Calvinistic ideas. I don't have to tear it out of the Bible. That's what a brother told me one time. He's talking about something, and he said, "Don't take that out of the Bible." I said, "Give me your Bible." I said, "You don't think it ought to be in there? Don't take it out. Give me your Bible." He wouldn't do it. He knew me. I'd go take it out. I'd have been glad to have bought him another $50, $100 Bible. Replace that. But I was going to take that out of that Bible because he said it shouldn't be in there. I was doing it because of him. See? But you see, we try to make things to be what we want them to be instead of letting it be what he says it is. Chosen us in him. The word. And he chose us before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, but now wait a minute, you're getting it a little too far in Calvinism. Well, if we don't act and live like our Christian duty in our life here and now, we have no right to say we're Christians.
That's right.
Right? We have no right to say we're Christians if we don't act like it. See, Paul then is telling you what God saw in Abraham. James is taking the same thing and explaining what man sees. Right? And put it together and you got the Christian experience of living for Jesus Christ every day of your life and having a wonderful time about it. Then your fears and things are gone. Brother Dale, did you have any fear when this came on us? And we did. Mm-mm. Why? Because there ain't nothing they can do. Oh, well, they can put you in jail at any minute. Brother Branham's the one that said it. I love it. He said, you can't get sick unless God lets you. You heard that one? He said, he allows it to come on you. And he said, it's for our good. But he says, now he ain't going to let it go too far. What do you pray then, Brother Dale? I pray, Lord, help all these people around the world. You promised the little bride that you'd be with her. Nothing wouldn't be able to conquer us. You promised us. So believe that. But Lord, help these poor old people of the world. You don't ever pray for them. Lord, help these poor old people around the world that are out there dying. And what about it? Okay, I hope you get the point. So there's no need of trying to move on in. I'll get next week. That's one thing about, you know, preaching. You can just carry it on to the next service and go again. But do you understand? Think about it. Are we Arminian? Are we Calvinist? Or can we take the truth that was presented? Apostle Paul brought the truth about salvation. James brought the truth about salvation. We try to figure them out, and we have them fighting each other. They are not fighting each other. Paul is explaining salvation as the gift of God, that you're predestinated, that you're chosen in him, not of him. You're chosen in him. Well, who was doing the choosing? Who was doing? God himself.
Amen.
You don't have to have another person to add up to. We're chosen in him. Who? In God. What about that? Well, that means I can go out and do what I want to. Now you're proving that you're lost. You're leaning to your Calvinistic form, and you're proving you're lost. Let us take the truth of all of it and bring it together. That's why I love this message. You know yourself. Now, not saying it in the wrong way, but saying it in the right way. You know yourself. You can read one thing Brother Brown says, and the next day you'll read something that sounds like it's different. If you admit it, you used to do that with the Bible. You used to read this in the Bible, and then you'd read this in the Bible, and you had it contradictory. But then come to find out, it's both of them was telling the truth. Now it takes a revelation. Now it takes an understanding to come together. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah 2 and 9. We get into predestination, just remember this one thing. He predestinates by foreknowledge. All right. But now you've got some calling and election we'll have to eventually get into. Calling an election. See, that's where we look at it and we think predestination. Well, that just means predetermined. That's it. If he predetermined me before the world, I can be saved. If he didn't, I can't be. Then your prophet said you're wrong. He said he didn't choose by his own choosing. He said he chose by his foreknowledge. Right? But you know what then? According to that, now let's make one little thing and I'll quit. According to that, then let me be a little bit on the Armenian side and this say, I thank God that he has revealed his word to us that we can do and realize that it's not what we do or don't do. But yet, if we're Christians, we will do and not do. right? And then that'll make it come out to the right place. And then we'll realize that, hey, it is all of grace. But we don't want to make it disgrace and bring it to a Baptist once saved, always saved. I come through there. I know the doctrine. But I'm not throwing off on them. Because that's what we thought. And I'm true. I believe it. Once truly born again, you're truly born again. I believe in it. I believe the Baptists had it right. They just didn't know how to explain it. Because Baptist was predestination, whether you know it or not. Because that's really technically where the Baptists split over two brothers that was preaching on predestination. And it divided the Baptist church up and it just sent it in every direction. See? But they had truth. Those people had truth. I mean, do we look at Martin Luther as the fact that he was so confused about everything, but God gave him one little thing, the just shall live by faith? No? If you want to come to the house, I'll see if I can find it. I'll find where John Wesley and Luther both was teaching things that we think Brother Branham was the one that started teaching it. No. They were teaching truth back down through there in a lot of areas. But we want the truth. They took this message to bring the truth. This message puts together Arminianism and Calvinism and just brings it in a beautiful picture. And we say, thank you, Lord, for saving us. Now, I ain't trying to work nothing out, but I'm trying to just do one thing. Let me be what I'm supposed to be. And forgive me when I fail. Because I'm going to do it. Think on these things. Let's stand. Come on, musicians. You want to study a little bit? Study on predestination and think about it. But just remember, it all starts from chosen in Him. It starts there. Some reason that He chose you. Why don't you search for it? There's some reason. I like it this way. There's a reason for it. You women don't have to worry about preaching. So that solves that. Right? You don't have to worry about it because women are not supposed to preach. So you solve that. Well, if I was a woman, I'd be happy. I'd say, thank you, Lord. At least I know one thing. I don't have to preach. Because, see, when you come through Pentecost, you had a bunch of them that was preaching and everything else. And that's all right. I'm not throwing off on them. But just think, if for some reason that you're here today. Well, I just got up and I go to church. That's good. But there's some reason. I like what the prophet said. He said, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for, he said, she'll be an invincible army. When you just realize somebody chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. He had a reason. Because one of these days, you see, I'm going to preach on a predestinated eternal gift. That'll go with this. A predestinated eternal. Gift. What is eternal life? It's through Jesus Christ. And He's the Word. What we got, brother?
Oh, hell, King Jesus. Oh, hell, Emmanuel.
You have a need? Just come and believe and see.
King
bright morning star. And throughout eternity,
good to be here to be able to look back and see your faces. Just pray that God will take care of everything, right? Father, we lay our hands upon our brother in memory of Brother Hal and Sister Audrey, and we just ask you to come down, give them strength, take away that weaknesses and that dizziness and the different things that's bothering Brother Hal. Lord, he loves you. He'd be here if it wasn't for that. Father, we ask you to just have your way. Let the strength and the love, the compassion that you have go forth and, Lord, touch him. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Our little buddy's got a lot of mosquito bites. We know how they hurt, Lord. We just ask you to take away the problem. Dismiss the sting and the hurting from the little fella. And Father, he wanted you to know that he loves you and that you just take care of his little problems in Jesus' name. Love you, buddy. Anybody else? Think about it.
I'm going to praise him, and forevermore.
Trouble with his shoulder, Lord. And we just lay our hands, our belief in it. We've seen you do so much. We've seen you take away pain, take away troubles. We believe you. We thank you. Thank you for this, Lord. And just let your grace and love be there. We love you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Just believe it. Say, I believe it. I thank you.
Oh, and throughout eternity,
my heart's moving.
I'm going to praise him. And forevermore, I will praise.
Lord Jesus, you heard our sister. Satan's trying his best to hinder in every way. But we believe you. And Lord, you're so real. You're so there with us. Now just be a comfort to our sister and leader, Lord. Let your grace be sufficient for every need. We thank you for your presence. We love you. In Jesus' name. Okay. And throughout. Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth for this one, Lord. That you would just come on the scene there. You take care of all of that burning and the sensations and things. And just let your loving grace be with it in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
I will reign in
a little safe.
Oh, help me.
just ask you, Lord Jesus, to take away this problem that little Sarah has. By your stripes, she's healed, and we thank you. Let everything be made manifest in your love. Amen. Anybody else? So just believe him.
Eternity, I'm going to praise him.
And
forevermore.
Father, we thank you for this day and your time, and we pray that what we said has been worthy, and we're just sorry that we sometimes messing up by calling names wrong brings a whole message to us, Lord, that we need to make sure that all is right. And to know and to see, we believe your word. Your word is true. There's things in there that are really for each one of us if we just receive it. And we thank you for it. Go with us now as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back together this evening. Be with Wade as he ministers unto us. And just have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You dismiss.
God we serve. That God we serve.